Coming up on Central Time, we'll continue our Wisconsin Legends series with a conversation about baseball player Andy Pafko of the Milwaukee Braves.
First, though, students at Riverside University High School in Milwaukee dressed in orange and gathered outside their school this morning to protest the mandatory use of metal detectors in the building.
The protest was organized by the youth group of Voces de la Frontera, a group called YES, which stands for Youth Empowered in the Struggle. They say the new metal detectors make them feel more like prisoners than students. They chanted, "Scholars, not suspects," as students headed to class for the day.
Joining us now to talk about the protest are Francisca Meraz and Hassan Haider. Francisca is a youth organizer at YES and a student at UW-Milwaukee. Hassan is a YES leader and a senior at Riverside High School. And Francisca, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Hassan, glad to have you with us as well.
Hi, yes, how are you?
Well, Francisca, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about this protest and what occasioned it. Why did it happen this morning?
I think someone would be better for that question, actually, but to give a little bit of background, this year, many MPS high schools started their mandatory metal detectors and, like, book bag searches and all of that every day. In previous years, it had only been random searches, and then this year it started across all different MPS high schools, including at Riverside. It was new. And then I think Hassan should be able to tell you a little bit about why students felt the need to do this today.
Sure. Hassan, why today? What happened?
So today we were protesting about, you know, having these metal detectors removed from school because students feel, you know, obligated that this is not the right way to go about the safety of the school. We came up with the line, "We are scholars, not suspects," because, you know, the way we are being treated through these metal scans feel as if we are criminals and we've done something wrong, and it's absolutely unfair to the students. So we were chanting outside and trying to get the attention of the Milwaukee School Public Schools Board to get a community hearing so we could not exactly reappeal it per se, but to get, you know, an idea of what we can do to make measures that make it more safe to be in school, except for these daily checks at Riverside, because it's been it's impacted the school environment a lot.
How has it impacted them? What changes now when you go to school?
Well, since we have these daily metal detector checks, every single day when students come up, you have to go through this metal detector. Students frequently show up late to their first hour of class. Students are a lot, like, you know, skipping a lot more class lately, and, you know, the halls have been a lot more chaotic throughout the school. Before we had these daily mandatory scans implemented, when students came in, we were able to clear the halls in an orderly fashion. Students were in class and doing what they're supposed to do. These metal detectors have, you know, given a big impact on this instructional time for that first hour period of students who, you know, have classes that first hour. You know, a lot of students are skipping now, so as you can see, the metal detectors are kind of a nuisance in that case. Teachers can't get through their lessons because their students aren't in class.
So why are students skipping, though, if they have nothing to hide? What's the connection?
Well, it's not exactly that they're trying to hide. It's like once they go through the, you know, metal detectors and they're already late to their class, they feel as if, you know, well, why do I have to go to class anyway? I'm already late, you know, I might as well just not go and just go directly to my second hour when the second hour bell rings. You know, it's that type of mentality that, you know, some students have, unfortunately. But, you know, before that, when students were just able to come in, you know, if they came in a couple minutes late, they were still able to make it to their first hour of class before, you know, anything like that were to happen. So we were able to clear the halls, you know, administration and security guards were able to clear the halls a lot easier because of, you know, there being a certain amount of security guards on each floor. But now, since we have these checks, all the security guards are located on the two entrances where we have these metal detector checks going on, where there are not enough adults on each floor to supervise what is going on each of the floors at our school. So students are kind of left alone to do things.
And Francisca, how did YES get involved with the protest?
YES has chapters in about 12 different Milwaukee and Racine, and so our students us with this concern this year. We weren't aware right away that MPS had implemented the metal detector searches in so many of the schools this year, and so the students came to us and said that they needed to do something about it, and I think Hassan was the student who came up with the term "scholars, not suspects," am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was really them that they had already had petitions circulating, they already had all this momentum, and we knew that we couldn't let it go to waste. That we had to work with them to make sure that something happened.
Hassan, do most of your classmates, just as a rough estimate, do they agree with you about the metal detectors, or are there students out there who think, you know, maybe this is necessary to be safe, this is the world we live in now, and this is the new reality?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of students agree with what the VOSIS and what we're protesting about. Of course, we're going to have some people opposing the idea of what we're doing. But a really big point we'd like to bring out is, like, how are the metal detectors going to make the students more safe? If somebody comes to school with a weapon with killer intent to do harm to another student, I don't believe metal detectors are going to stop that student from doing what they want to do. A lot of students have said, you know, out of the many years they've been in this school, I myself being a junior, I've been in the school for 3 years. I can say for myself that I feel a lot more unsafe with these metal detectors here than I have in the past when they were not here, you know, because I can definitely see a student trying to challenge the system, you know, saying, okay, what are you guys going to do about it? I'll come in and, you know, try to create a scene or create something that everybody will dislike, of course.
And you've also said that you've been racially profiled at these checkpoints. What happened then?
Yes, on two different occasions I've been racially profiled at Riverside during the checks. The first time was actually the first day of the checks. I was behind two other young men, and when they went through, they beeped through the metal detector, and the security guards neglected to check them or search them. As they did, they just let them go through. When I walked through, I also beeped, and it was because I had my wallet full of change in my back pocket. So, you know, I beeped, and he asked me what was in my what I had. So I took my wallet out and told him that I had, you know, change in the wallet. That is why it beeped. So he took my wallet. He told me to step aside, and he went through everything I had in my wallet. He told me to take my jacket off, my backpack off. He made me take my shoes and socks off and pretty much checked everything I had. And I felt very, very offended because, you know, me being from a Bangladeshi and a half Bangladeshi, half Indian descent, I've gotten many types of, you know, racial slurs about me being a terrorist and things, you know, getting random checks and being pulled out of line and stuff. So I told him that this is a racial profile. You know, why did you not check the other students who beeped just as I did the way you're checking me? And they would not give me a reply. They just told me to move along after the check was over.
And I want to ask you both real quickly, we're just about out of time, but do you think that you've gotten the attention of the Milwaukee School District? Francisca,
yes.
Sure, Hassan, go ahead.
We just, right after the protest, we got word from central office, I believe, that we got the community hearing we wanted. They said we'll get a community hearing for this topic. We just don't have a date set for that.
And Francisca, anything, you know, that you want the students to do as they organize, as they move forward? Was this an example of an effective protest?
I think so. I think that along with the school board hearing, the first one that we had, we were able to get the school board to agree that we needed a community hearing on this. And now with all the momentum that was built up at this protest today, the students are definitely aware that there is something that they do have a voice. And that there is something that can be done. So I think right now is a very critical moment for students like Hassan and other student organizers in the school to harness that energy and to encourage students to get involved, come to the hearings, and be able to voice their opinions about their safety.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining us today. Francisca, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Hassan, thanks to you, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We've been talking to Francisca Meraz, a youth organizer at Youth Empowered in the Struggle and a student at UW-Milwaukee, and Hassan Haider, YES leader and senior at Riverside University High School.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. Rob Ferret here, Veronica Rickett over there. Jean Purcell joins us now, sitting in between us, because it's our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something worthwhile, maybe about the state you live in, when you tune in. Now's the time to put a value on that. Your gift is vital to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a big part of what keeps us going. Make a pledge now by making a gift in any amount at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And it's easy to make a pledge, and we know, because last hour we heard from 39 new and returning members to Wisconsin Public Radio, and thanks to all of you for those pledges. Right now, a brand new hour is before us and a brand new goal, but some good news, because we have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour, all the way up to $3,400. This match is from some generous donors from Cable, Oshkosh, and Lake Mills, just their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So get your pledge doubled right now. We think it's a great opportunity. Here you can do it online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you make your community a little better place because you're an engaged, informed citizen. When you give to WPR, you're doubling the good you do.
Absolutely. That's because WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your financial support is the very foundation of our budget here. It's your support that makes this incredible service available to you and the entire state all the time. So pledge now, WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Reason number one to give to WPR is to support the programming, to keep these conversations coming to you each and every day. Here's a little added something going on just this hour. It's the Chocolatarian Sampler from the Chocolatarian on Madison's East Side. We're going to be talking about chocolate in just a little bit. Ask for your Chocolatarian sample when you give $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. Ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
You know, we've all had that experience when we've been on vacation, been out of town for a while, or maybe your car radio didn't work for a while. That happens, too, when you felt like something was missing, when you couldn't hear Wisconsin Public Radio for a while. And then, all of a sudden, you got WPR back, and you had that great feeling of familiarity.
Yeah, we hear that all the time from people who moved away from Wisconsin and then moved back and realized what they had been missing. When you see how happy you are to have those familiar voices, the familiar programs back, that's when you realize how important Wisconsin Public Radio is in your life. The best way to keep it here is to support it with your dollars. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time we're driving, 14, 15 hours a day sometimes, all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
All right, Bruce, thank you so much. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Gene Purcell asking for your support of WPR during our fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $5 a month or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we've got that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from generous donors in cable, Oshkosh and Lake Mills. We've also got, just to update you on the goal, 33 pledges to go before 4 o'clock. So with this dollar-for-dollar match, your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 into $200, and so on. So get your pledge matched dollar-for-dollar. Do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Already partway there, $500 toward that match of $3,200. Don't leave that on the table. Double your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Central Time right now. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later in the program, we'll be talking about one of our favorite things, chocolate.
First, it's time for Wisconsin Legends, where we talk about famous Wisconsinites from all walks of life.
And this week, we look back on the life of a major leaguer with Wisconsin roots. Andy Pafko played for the Milwaukee Braves, among other teams, and was a four-time All-Star. Pafko also claimed he hit the longest home run in baseball history. We're going to get to that a little later. He did pass away last week at the age of 92. Here's a clip of Pafko being interviewed by WUWM in 2009.
Of course, I played for a long time, a number of years, and I was so fortunate that I played for three different clubs, and all the three clubs went into the World Series. And I think of a guy like Ron Santo, played all those years and never had the opportunity. Here I played with on three clubs. We all went to the World Series, so how lucky could I get? So I had a good career. I'm very lucky.
Joining us now to talk about the life of Andy Pafko is WPR's Terry Bell. In addition to being a reporter and the host of Morning Edition, he's also a history buff when it comes to Wisconsin baseball. Terry, welcome back to Central Time.
Nice to be back.
So Who was Andy Pafko? Give us a feeling for his career.
Well, Andy Pafko, he was really the American dream. He came from that time when baseball players were the children of immigrants and came up from farms and coal mines. Big league baseball players we've established pretty well. One of the best ones of his time in the 1940s and 50s, which many people consider to be baseball's golden era. Played for 17 years, got his start with the Cubs in 1943, and played all the way until the Braves released him in 1959. Again, the child of Czech immigrants, grew up in Boyceville. Like, he was born in 1921, grew up on a dairy farm. I think they milked 16 head. And Boyceville is in Dunn County. That's kind of between Eau Claire and the Twin Cities. And as we heard in that clip, he played for three championship-caliber teams, the Chicago Cubs, the Brooklyn Dodgers, and the Milwaukee Braves. Played in four World Series, including the last time the Chicago Cubs ever got to the World Series. He was on that team, and I believe he was the second-to-last surviving member of that 1945 National League pennant-winning team, and that was the year of the curse of the Billy Goat was cast on Wrigley Field. And his one World Championship came with the Braves in 1957.
So a World Championship, handful of World Series, as we mentioned, four-time All-Star. He had a pretty good Major League career.
He had a great Major League career, absolutely.
So can you talk about some of the people he played with, some of the legendary players we might know?
Well, you have to start really with Jackie Robinson and Henry Aaron. Those were the big luminaries he played with. But on that last Cubs World Series team, he played with Phil Cavaretta, Hank Wise in Brooklyn, legends like Roy Campanella, Gil Hodges, and of course ending up in Milwaukee with the likes of Eddie Matthews and Warren Spahn.
So he was also part of a legend kind of on the other side that he couldn't really do much about. Let's take a listen to one of the most famous moments in baseball.
Back to throw. There's a long back. I can't be, I believe. The Giants cut the pellet. The Giants cut the pellet. The Giants cut the pellet. The Giants cut the pellet.
And one of the great moments in broadcasting, too. The shot heard around the world. Where was Andy Pafko when the shot heard around the world was hit?
He was playing left field, and that shot went right over his head. In fact, there's a very famous photograph of him up against the wall there at the Polo Grounds. He seems almost to be trying to push the wall back in hopes of one last attempt to get that ball, but it wasn't meant to be.
And he said if it had been another stadium, he might have caught that ball, but there was a short fence there.
It was only 315 to left field at the Polo Grounds. Pretty shallow porch there.
So he ended up playing with Bobby Thompson later on the same team, right?
They ended up on the Milwaukee Braves. They were teammates and pretty good friends.
All right. Yeah. And I think I saw something about Bobby Thompson was too modest to talk about that moment.
Well, yeah, apparently he asked Bobby a few times about that, and he just didn't really want to talk about it. Bobby, much like Andy, pretty humble, pretty unaffected by fame, pretty modest people to the end.
However, Andy Pafko claimed, as we mentioned earlier, he hit the longest home run in baseball history. What's the story behind that?
Well, that apparently happened at Wrigley Field against the Boston Braves. He hit a home run out of the park. We can verify that. And it apparently landed on a train that was going along Sheffield Avenue and landed in a coal car. And apparently, I can't verify this, but the train eventually went on to New York, it's told. And so Andy takes credit for that as being the longest home run in baseball history.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I buy that. I accept okay. it. So he's from Wisconsin. He ended up playing for Milwaukee to finish his career. Was there a sense that he was glad to come back home to Wisconsin?
He was very glad to come home. When the Boston Braves moved to Milwaukee, they wanted a Wisconsin native on the roster as maybe a ticket draw, perhaps. But he had always wanted to play in Milwaukee, even when the old minor league Milwaukee Brewers, he had actually a signed contract with them. And the Brewers then traded or actually sold that contract to the old minor league Los Angeles Angels. And he wasn't happy at all. He was looking forward to playing in Milwaukee. Didn't want to go to Los Angeles. Eventually, he got his wish ending up in his career in Milwaukee.
And so after his career, what did he do after baseball?
Well, he managed in the Braves minor league system. He was also a scout for the Braves and the former Montreal Expos. Ended up retiring in suburban Chicago. His wife was from Chicago and spent the last years of his life in Michigan where relatives looked after him.
And then he passed away last week.
That's right, at a long-term care facility.
Now, I understand in the world of baseball cards, Pafko's a pretty good name to look for.
Oh, absolutely. At an auction a few years ago, his 1952 Topps number one card sold for $83,870.
Not bad.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of reasons for that. They were issued in order, they had numerical order, and the custom at the time was when you had that collection, you stack them in order and then put a rubber band around them. And since his was number one in that issue, his was often at the top, often got scuffed up and kind of mistreated. And so as a result, there aren't many PAFCO cards from 1952 in very good condition. So a combination of that rarity of good condition cards and his great career made that a very valuable card.
And that darn rubber band. I bet there's a lot of people who, I don't know, either lost their set of baseball cards, sold them off, or put them in their bicycles, their bicycle
spokes.
Well,
exactly, they weren't always treated as collector's items. They were treated pretty poorly or pretty carelessly back in the days.
Does Boysville know what they've got? Do they remember him still to this day?
They absolutely do. The baseball field in Boysville is named after Andy PAFCO, and they threw a parade for him. He's still remembered quite fondly there. He kept his roots in Boysville very strong throughout his life. And even though he only played 2 weeks for the Eau Claire Bears, there is a plaque in his honor at the Eau Claire Baseball Hall of Fame right outside of Carson Park.
Oh, I should have asked you about that because you're a fan of minor league baseball in Wisconsin, too. Did he have much of a minor league career in the state apart from that two-week stint in Eau Claire?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. That was back in 1940. He'd actually tried out for the Eau Claire Bears. Again, he grew up nearby in Boysville. Had a tryout with the Bears. Didn't make the team, but he played town ball nearby, and the manager was aware of him. And by the end of that season, the Bears roster was kind of depleted. They needed an outfielder. And the Bears manager drove this big black sedan that was issued by the team. And as Andy told it, when he saw that big black car pull up in the driveway, he knew what that meant. And he jumped off that haystack as fast as he could. He played for 2 weeks for the Bears, ended up playing for the Green Bay Blue Jays for the next season in 1941. And he almost played for two other Wisconsin teams. As I mentioned, he had a signed contract with the old minor league Milwaukee Brewers. And he also had a signed contract with the old Madison Blues. But he never actually took the field with either of those teams. Those contracts got sold over the wintertime.
All right. From the haystack into baseball history. Terry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Great to be here.
That's Terry Bell, reporter here at WPR, host of Morning Edition over on the Other Network.
Coming up after the news, we'll be talking about chocolate, caramel, and toffee. And you'll have a chance to get a delicious sample from a local chocolatier with your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Hi, I'm Veronica Rickert here with Rob Ferret, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time and your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. A contribution of any amount will support Wisconsin Public Radio, so make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is a great time to do it because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,400 in effect right now. We're about a third of the way there. So take advantage of this. We've got some generous donors from Cable, from Oshkosh, and from Lake Mills. They've donated an extra buck for each dollar you donate. They want to encourage you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's what it means. You double the impact of your pledge right now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
So in the greater scheme of shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, Central Time is pretty much the baby. It is the baby. We're 3 months old about right now. We just started this summer, and we're so excited to be part of the spirit of innovation and that history on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And we can't do it without you. Members, people like you, play a big role in WPR's ability to move with the times, stay relevant, try new things. Thanks to your support, new shows like Central Time have a chance to see the light of day. Your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is a vote for Central Time and a vote for, you know, innovating here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can choose the Chocolatarian Sampler from the Chocolatarian on Madison's East Side as your thank you gift when you decide to pledge $150 or more. That breaks down to $12.50 a month. But Besides that yummy chocolate, your pledge will help support the programs. And at the pledge of $150 or more, you can enjoy that chocolate and toffee. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A big slice of WPR's budget pie, let's call it budget piece of chocolate. The biggest slice is listener support. All of our funding sources are really important. Businesses that contribute to the federal and state governments, you're a big deal. Your contributions make up the biggest single part of WPR's budget. It's the amazing thing that it is because of your support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, right now is an awesome time to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from generous donors from Cable and Oshkosh and Lake Mills. All of them together are providing extra funding for up to $3,400. So your gift of $50 turns to $100, $100 turns to $200. Take advantage of the match and make your gift go even further in paying for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Get your pledge match dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Well, has Wisconsin Public Radio made you a better person, maybe more informed as to what's going on, maybe just able to understand the world around you a little better? Well, that is a reason to pledge. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support during this fall membership drive. Veronica Rickert here with Rob Ferret. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And thank you in advance for your gift of $10 a month, maybe $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you pledge, you're joining a team of over 50,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. How about that? A lot of people get on board to help WPR keep this programming coming to you. Your contribution of any amount gets pooled with other member contributions to make up the single biggest piece of our budget.
And we use that money to bring you the great programs every day. The money turns into the shows that you love. So make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Two great reasons to pledge now. We've got that dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. Some of our current members are challenging you. If you pledge $50, they're going to throw in another $50. So that's one good reason. Also, we're going to be talking about chocolate in just a couple minutes. If you pledge $150 or more, ask for the Chocolatarian Sampler from the Chocolatarian in Madison. What a good time to make a pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And think about that matching amount right now. So those members care enough to put extra money on the table. They already support Wisconsin Public Radio. This is extra money out of their pockets. And they're doing it for one reason, to get you to pledge. That's how much they want you to pledge. They're throwing in extra money. So how about rising to that challenge? Support the station that you're already listening to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And don't forget, when the hour ends, that matching offer goes away.
Hey, here's a comment from Rebecca in Davenport, Iowa. Check this out. She just pledged. She says, I started listening a couple weeks ago, and I just fell in love with Wisconsin Public Radio. The programs are great, and it's been keeping me informed. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Wow, what a quick decision. She's been listening for a couple weeks, and she's already decided, hey, I got to support this. I got to be a member. How about you? Have you been listening for just a couple weeks, months, maybe even a few years? Take that next step. Become a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make your pledge, how about becoming a sustainer? Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year, and you'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments so you don't really have to think about anymore. It makes it nice and easy breezy for you. So easy to set up and a great way to make a lasting impact on Wisconsin Public Radio. You choose how to give. That's where it all starts at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, get your pledge matched dollar for dollar by current members. And you can get some chocolate when you pledge $150 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Our next guest has an especially delicious job. She's the co-owner of Madison's Chocolatarian Cafe, where she and her partner make delicious toffee, chocolates, and lots of other goodies by hand.
Leanne Cordisco joins us now to talk about just what goes into making the sweet stuff and explain some of the flavor combinations in there, too. Leanne, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I guess a lot of us growing up might think this was the dream job. What is it like to make chocolate and candy for a living?
Well, it's the dream job. it's air conditioned every day. It smells fantastic. Kids look in the windows of our kitchen smiling. We like to give away little pieces of free chocolate to kids if they're there with their families. Making everybody's day a little bit brighter. So on a daily basis, we at Chocolatarian make people smile through chocolate and candy. And it's a great way to make a living.
And some of it is, you know, it's visual and the way it smells, but you have these big storefront windows and people can walk by and see you, you know, rolling out these vats of chocolate and caramel and toffee. And what is your favorite part about all of this? Is it the smells, the way it looks, or just like you said, making people happy?
My favorite part is really making people happy. My second favorite part is playing with flavors. I've always been interested in food. I've always been interested in how things taste, why they taste good together. And getting to kind of play with that through chocolate and combining sweet and savory and different textures, it's just boatloads of fun.
Well, on the flavor issue, there seems to be a big trend of combining caramel with salt, I guess chocolate with salt. I've done the caramel, not the chocolate. When I first heard that, I thought, what? That doesn't make a lick of sense. And then I actually tried it, and it works. Why does that work?
Do I get to comment on the pun, a lick of sense? Nicely done.
Yes, you do.
Okay, good. So why it works, there's a little bit of chemistry involved. The human tongue can pick up 5 tastes, sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami, which is really fun to say. Why it tastes good is the... What makes it work is that if you can get something that's sweet and salty together, you're engaging more parts of your flavor receptors, okay? Mm-hmm. If you can engage one element of your flavor receptors, things are going to taste okay. If you can engage 2 elements of those flavor receptors, it's going to taste better. If you can engage 3 or 4 or 5, things are going to become just that much more addicting to you. So taking sweet and salty and combining it gets 2 of those flavor centers going. If you can add a little sourness from some dried cherries, there's 3 hooks. And so the human body is just hardwired to want to get these different flavors. And if you can kind of pack them in one thing, you're just going to want it that much more.
So you like to play with those flavors and you're going for as many of those different tastes on the tongue as you can. What are some examples of things that you've done with that at Chocolatarian where you played and engaged as many flavors as you can?
A great example of it, although it's not chocolate, sorry. It's a bacon toffee, which is sweet and salty and it's got a lot of umami. It's got some natural kind of like sourness to it from kind of just almost overcooking the bacon. So we kind of hit on 4 of those 5 flavor receptors.
That's intense.
Yeah. And with some of the chocolate that we make, there's chocolate, so you've got the sweet, you've got salt in it. We bring nuts in for a new umami flavor, dried cherries for a little sourness, so that hits on 4 of the 5. That's what we like to do. We like to play with in Wisconsin ingredients when we can. We like to play with the world's best ingredients when we can. So combining Belgian chocolate with Wisconsin butter, it's kind of like a home run. Yeah, it's just kind of fun.
Well, if you're out there getting hungry, remember, if you make a pledge right now of $12.50 a month or more, you can get a sampler. We're going to talk about some of what's in there. But make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Okay, one of the items in that sampler, chai caramel. What's the deal with that?
Well, it's hitting on those flavor receptors again. So Wisconsin butter, sassy cow, heavy cream, which if you've ever had occasion to, you know, we hear the
chai caramel. Yeah, you hear the crinkle of that, right? This is the chai caramel I'm holding
anymore.
Now. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So we exclusively use sassy cow dairy. So it's local. It's magnificent heavy cream to work with. We boil that with our own proprietary spice mix of cinnamon, cardamom, clove, and ginger. And you're probably noticing right now that your mouth is like your palate's just kind of waking up, that it's just it's very warm in your palate, and it's just a very you're probably just
Well said, Rob. Yeah, it was time to start eating because you've got these beautiful things arrayed in the studio here, and some of them, the caramel, you brought some toffee, I think. And so the texture in the caramel that Rob is trying to swallow right now is the texture because of the butter? Is that why it gets that kind of melty yet chewiness? Where does that come from?
The texture all comes from temperature. It's all temperature control. And part of being a good chocolatier or a good candy maker is understanding what's happening at temperatures. The candy makers and I can look at a batch of cooking caramel, and within 3 degrees, just by looking at it, we can tell you what the temperature is, because that's how critical temperature control is to our process. And so our caramels are cooked to exactly 244 degrees of surface temperature, which is different than if we took a thermometer and inserted it into the caramel as it's cooking. It would be a little hotter on, actually inside the batch. But
so if you're a few degrees off either way, is it ruined or is it just a different kind of caramel?
It's a different texture. Mm-hmm. So if we cook it to, say, 240 degrees, it'll be it'll have a lot of something called cold flow. So all the engineers out there.
Cold flow.
Cold flow.
Is that like cold fusion?
No.
Okay. That's
better.
Probably for the best.
It's better. It means if you put a piece of caramel on the table and just leave it alone, it'll just kind of ooze a bit. Hmm. And if you cook it to a slightly higher temperature, it'll firm up a bit, because what you're doing as you're cooking these candies is driving moisture out of it. And as it gets drier, it's going to get more brittle. It's going to get more rigid.
Now, what about the chocolate? Now, your shop is called Chocolatarian, so obviously this is part of your stock and trade, this chocolate. And as part of our sampler that we're offering for a pledge of $150, we are giving people some of your fruit bark, and it's got a whole bunch of things in there. I'm guessing we're sort of going for that multi-taste receptor thing there, too. Tell us about your fruit bark.
Absolutely. So Belgian dark chocolate that we temper on a daily basis. And the tempering process in chocolate is also very interesting. It's all about temperature control. We can talk about that in another fun drive. But we add to that a little Door County cherries. We add some... I forget what's in
it's
there.
It's like mangoes and strawberries and blueberries. Everything is in there.
Mangoes and strawberries and blueberries, exactly. The sweetness of the blueberries and the mangoes play against the tartness of the cherries. The chocolate melts in your mouth and it gives you this wonderful mouth feel. You get this great texture from the chewiness of the cherries and the chewiness of the mangoes, and it just contrasts against the smoothness of the chocolate. And it's easy to eat, and it's just delicious.
When you're coming up with a flavor like this, is there a lot of trial and error where the first maybe couple batches don't come out the way you were hoping?
Absolutely, indeed. Yeah, and we have a number of taste testers all around the city of Madison.
I bet you do.
We do. They come from corporate America, believe it or not. So,
really?
Yes. We have groups of people in companies that we used to work for that will give... We can include you.
Michelle wants to be one.
So we'll give our candies to our old colleagues, and we've got a rating scale. And if something is meh, we try again. That's actually one of the ratings you can use.
Excellent.
Yes. So we have oh my god as the top rating, meh as the middle rating, and neh as the bottom rating. Highly technical stuff.
Oh, very technical. I can hear that. You know, a lot of people will attempt baking at home, but they won't attempt candy making. And I think that because it does seem like there is more of a science to it. You were talking about the temperatures. What are some of the common things that can go wrong when you're making candy, and how to fix them if you do want to try this at home?
Well, playing with chocolate at home can be a little dangerous in that you're going to make the chocolate look bad. If you get it too hot, you can scorch it, which can get a little, you can get a burn taste to the chocolate. Or if you just get it too hot but not hot enough to scorch it, it's going to fall out of temper. It's going to develop a couple of crystals in it that you don't want, and it's going to end up looking gray, kind of hazy. It's going to lose that wonderful snap and that great mouthfeel. You're growing crystals that you don't want, so it's going to change the texture of it. And unless you understand what temperatures those crystals are growing in, you really can't work with chocolate easily at home. So there are a whole bunch of different places online where you can learn how to temper chocolate. There is a very easy way how to do it in the microwave. I find that to be very successful. And if you start with great chocolate and you know, respect the chocolate, go through a very easy tempering process, you can have some really wonderful, delicious, world-class candies at home.
All right. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
That was Leanne Cordisco, co-owner of Chocolatarian Cafe in Madison. And remember, you can get some of your very own chocolate with a pledge of $150 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Chocolate and caramel and toffee, my
right.
friend. All of that. There's three different kinds of things in that. And coming up, we look at the science of making things faster, colder, safer, and wilder. That's all coming up on Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickard here with Jean Purcell, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. This drive is your chance to show your support for all of the programs you listen to throughout the year on Wisconsin Public Radio. The thing you have to do, though, is decide to take that first step. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we've got that dollar-for-dollar match we were talking about earlier, all the way up to $3,400 in effect right now. We've still got some room left on that and 12 pledges to go to make our goal this hour. This is a terrific time to pledge because for every dollar that you give, generous donors from Cable, from Oshkosh, and Lake Mills will be donating an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your pledge right now by giving to WPR.org, or you can call us at 888-202-2552.
And we're just in the first hour of the program today. You've been enjoying conversation about Wisconsin great Andy Bafko. We've been talking about chocolate and caramel and toffee as well. Well, now take a few minutes in this hour to make this hour and lots more hours possible on Wisconsin Public Radio. When you pledge at $150 or more, that shakes down to $12.50 a month, we will happily send you a thank you gift of the chai caramel, some butter toffee, and some of the chocolate bark that Leanne Cordisco is describing there as your thank you gift, something sweet to go along with your listening. But you need to make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you need to make that pledge and collect on that sampler if you get the chance to do it. You need to make that pledge because so much of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget pie, or we could use like a candy bar reference there, right?
Oh,
candy
yeah.
bar, so much of it is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal government, businesses are important, it's your contribution that really makes the biggest difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to listener support. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This is Michelle Norris from NPR News. It's fundraising time. We've worn you down. You finally decided to give, but you're still undecided about how much to give. Well, here's a suggestion. Think about becoming a sustaining giver at just $10 a month. It's billed to your credit card, it renews automatically, and you can stop anytime you want. Then, no matter when you tune into your station, you know that you're doing your part. And no matter when a fund drive comes around, you can listen guilt-free. Join as a sustaining supporter of your station today. Just $10 a month. Here's how.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickert here with Jean Purcell, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. And like Michelle Norris said, we don't want it to be about guilt. Don't make it about the guilt. Make it be about something positive because you believe in Wisconsin Public Radio and because you listen. We appreciate every amount. You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make that pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the 50,000 members who already support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution of any amount is then pooled up with other member contributions, and all together, that makes up the single largest piece of our budget.
888-202-2552 is the number. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from generous donors in Cable and Oshkosh and Lake Mills. Don't forget, this hour, it ends. So let's take advantage of that and their generous offer. Your gift of 50 turns into 100, 100 turns to 200, and so on. Let's take advantage of this match and say thank you for chipping in that extra money to those donors as well. Get your pledge matched at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know that worked for David from Madison. He says he pledged because of the matching gift. And so if you need that little bit of extra push, now is the time to do it. And don't forget that your pledge of any amount is appreciated, and ask for the Chocolatarian Sampler from the Chocolatarian on Madison's East Side as your thank you gift when you give $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And again, in that sampler, there is fruit bark with some yummy fruits and things on it, mango, Door County cherries, lots of other stuff. And there is butter toffee. There is a chai caramel that Rob took a gigantic bite out of. Lots of good stuff. It still smells good in here. That is our thank you gift to you with your pledge of $150 or more. Make your pledge of any amount. We appreciate every single pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We do appreciate every single pledge. That is the absolute truth. And don't forget, when you make your pledge, you can become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio, too. And that's a great way to go because your sustaining membership automatically renews each year. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact on Wisconsin Public Radio.
The important thing is to make that decision. Become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Support the program that you listen to, that you love, that's become part of the fabric of your life. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.